Hi, it's Aubrey. Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with myself and Susan Grace. We are really grateful that you are here, and we're really grateful for everybody that listens in. Susan and I are preparing for our 100th episode, and it's kind of a wow. We started the podcast in under a year ago now and had no idea how it would grow, how many people we would reach, how many people would comment and share and respond the way that they are to consciousness, to awareness, to real talk of what it feels like to go through shifting energies in real time and to try to describe it from a place of being a human. So thank you for participating and showing up. It's really an amazing testament to our willingness to be the evidence and your willingness to receive it. We're really grateful. In honor of that, we are launching some big surprises with the 100th episode, which will be happening in just a matter of weeks. So we're going to be running some big specials. We ran a big special a couple weeks ago for everyone to get some sales on booking us for a duo reading. And in those duo readings, Susan and I blend in your astrology chart with my intuitive downloads. And it's magic. I mean, like that's my fingers are in spirit fingers right now. That's truly what it is. It is magic unfolding when you get us in a reading together. So there will be something around readings that happens around our 100th episode. We also are launching some surprise classes, courses, unfoldings, whatever you want to call them, that will be really special for people that are a part of the BeTheEvidence.live community. They will gain free access to them immediately, and that's definitely a perk of joining BeTheEvidence.live. On top of that perk of like celebrating the 100th episode with balloons and shiny things, we also have like in BeTheEvidence.live, it's amazing. You get text messages of astrological changes as they're happening, of things to like keep in mind as the energies start to unfold. It's truly one of Susan's most powerful gifts, and she's got a whole hell of a lot of them. And within the BeTheEvidence.live community, there is access to live calls. There's pop-ups that you get access to. There is an actual community of other people that are also walking their talk and showing up in real life. Of what does that mean to become more deeply embedded in who I would like to be and participate in the world I would like to create? That's a beautiful thing to witness, other people doing it as well. It sure as hell gives me motivation to continue on my own path. So if that's something that's of interest to you, know that there's going to be some specials coming up in the next couple of weeks to support you and entice you into the BeTheEvidence.live membership site. Otherwise, please know that your responses, your comments, your likes, your shares, your emails, your response text messages, they mean the world to us. They really are changing how we view and how we participate in the world. And if there are things that arise for you from listening to this podcast that you would like to see us add, please shoot us a message. We would really love to hear from you. It's truly an honor and a deep gift to be able to be of service in this way. Welcome to another week, another day, another unfolding of, you know, life and humanity.
Yeah, we're coming out of a really intense Scorpio full moon. I felt this one. Because I house so much Scorpio, I didn't think it would be that eventful, but it is lingering. I can feel it. It feels super heavy.
Is so lingering. I have not been sleeping. I can't put together words. Like, I'm so spacey. Like, I don't know how else to explain it besides just like it feels like, whoa, like it's taking me. Like, you know, like the how do I explain that? I don't even like know words, like the pull off of like, sort of like I've been slimed and like I'm still pulling slime from my inner ears and my back of my hair. And it's like, oh, it's everywhere, even though I've tried everything. I did all my rituals. Like I did all my rituals and I still, I'm like, no, it's hanging around.
Yeah, it's super heavy. And I, unfortunately, I think it's going to get even more heavy. As we're recording, Moon is in Sagittarius, but it's going to click into Capricorn and be on approach to Saturn and Pluto and South Node. And I think that we're going to be making some real serious decisions, probably about what we want to cut in response to how we felt around that Scorpio full moon. And Sun and Mercury will have clicked into Gemini by the time this goes up. I think your thoughts are going to speed up, but I think there's real serious, heavy decisions that are coming. So I think it'll be a relief to be able to think faster, but it's still heavy and serious on what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're just not going to get any relief about this stuff. We live in a very heavy, serious time. And it's just kind of where we live.
Like the level of discomfort that everybody listening cannot see just like permeates around me where I'm like, and how do we get out of it? Right? Like, how do you bring lightness to heaviness? Like, how do you shift the black into the gray? You know, like where do you find bits of relief when this is like the new norm of just like, this is life right now. It's extremely heavy.
Well, we'll see how it unfolds. But during Gemini season with Mercury in Gemini, we might have access to curiosity and kind of like a bebop kind of energy. Beep, 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 like that. Mm-hmm. That might be where I feel like there's a sense of humor that's about to come in. Like you might as well laugh. What else are we going to do? So being able to maintain your sense of humor, I think is important. Upholding curiosity to see what could possibly happen next. Those are a couple of ways to reach for relief. Obviously, North Node in Cancer is excessive self-care. Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm like, I think it's the Scorpio full moon, but I find myself going, everything is so serious. Everything feels super dark. And I had to stop myself and go, is it though? Like, come on.
Right.
Lighten up a little. Like self-mercy, in a self-mercy kind of way.
Yeah, I keep thinking about like, well, what would it look like if joy was my priority, right? Like if I were able to pull out of the heaviness, the lingering, what would it look like to focus on the joy? Like the moments of it, right? Like the sprinkling of it and see if that helps shift my perspective or my energy, you know, like my awareness, anything, like give me a little inkling of a shift. Yeah. Because I think like that's really where, I mean, it's all teaching, right? Like that's all life is a big teaching and we're all learning lessons repeatedly. And I think it's when we're in these places where it's really heavy, that one, it's really quick to go into the reactive, right? And be like, shotgun approach. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to react. And then boop, 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 boop. Okay. It takes a whole lot more permission and allowance with life itself to go, okay, that's all heavy. And how do I cultivate laughter? How do I focus on joyful moments? How do I appreciate simple sensations that I experience as part of being a human at this time?
Yeah, I didn't see this coming. I didn't know it was going to happen like on a collective level, but I'm noticing that the people that I'm reading for lately, almost every person I read for is bringing up healing some sort of generational wound, generational trauma. Like it's not just the immediacy of what's happening in your living room. It's what's been happening to everyone you've ever been connected with lineage wise. I don't think that we pull all the way to the other side of that without reaching for where we want to end up. Meaning, reaching for joy. If I'm going to heal a whole bunch of trauma, like taking away the trauma, but also building back up on what you want to have stand the test of time from here going forward. Mm-hmm. So Pluto is it's a ruler of Scorpio. It's about transformation. It sure as fuck feels like it's going to tear everything down, but it's also meant to bring in what we're going to build up in placement of it, mm-hmm. to transform all the way back up. So if we're looking at a whole bunch of trauma that we didn't realize was there as we're exiting out of control mechanisms, we need to reach for what we want to replace it with. Joy, laughter, rebuilding relationships, rebuilding how we treat the planet, those kinds of things.
Right.
Right. Going, leaning into Uranus and Venus in Taurus, of what's important to us and where do we want to put our energy on building the new.
So tricky. I feel like it's like somebody turns on a fast-paced song and you're not quite sure how to get your footing, right? Because it's like you either sit with all of the trauma that's, and it's not either or, this is just me and my placements where I go, oh, it's either or, right? Like, it's not either or, but this is how my brain works, where I'm like, I'm either sitting in the lineage of my trauma that's been carried on throughout karmic lifetimes, or I'm so focused on the world that I want to create that I want to ignore the other part, right? Like, it's like, I can't get the footing. I feel like I cannot get the footing to the beat quite right of how do I do both at the same time?
I think that's going around. That feeling is in the air of how do you house all of it?
Right.
And we may not be able to right now. I mean, in June, we're going to add more retrogrades. We're going to go up to 6 retrogrades and then do an eclipse cycle between Cancer and Capricorn. We might need the eclipses to tell us how to get to the other side of it.
Right.
When I said all those about to come in, the look on your face is like, oh, I just can't wait. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
So fucking thrilled, Susan. I love when you draw, like when we're in with our members and we do our live calls and you drop things like that where you're like, oh yeah, no big deal. Like, here's what's going to happen. And there's going to be 3 more retrogrades. And I'm like, oh yeah, no big deal. Right. That's right. That's it.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Just roll the dice, I guess. I don't know.
See what I'm saying? We have to have some levity here. We got to remember to laugh. This is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
The amount of shifting that's happening to ourselves in the immediate relationships around us, how our lives are set up, the collective itself is so serious and so heavy and so big and so karmic that we have to remember to laugh. We have to remember to have some mercy on ourselves and go, this is ridiculous, right? Yeah, it is. It's a lot. It's a lot for everybody. It's not any one person. All of us are like, I can't even believe this is happening.
It's so true. Yeah, I think, so it's like that prioritizing, laughing, joyfulness, getting and grounding. Like, I think that's the only thing to do about it. And that takes a lot of concentration. And I'm struggling with concentrating on really anything at this moment in time. Like, in general, since this full moon, I've been like, I've got like 3-second spans. I'm like, okay, I can do concentration for 2 seconds. We're good.
I wonder if it's, and I don't know. I really am wondering out loud if it's overgrounding. Saturn, Pluto, and South Node all in Capricorn, and we've had a stellium in Taurus. Like, if everything has just become so dense, we can't see the forest for the trees.
Oh, I think that's probably the case. Like, it's so dense because I personally can't get a handle on anything. Like, it feels like it's been so heavy, right? Like, and it's not just this full moon. Like, it's been like that energy of like, and now I still can't get, I'm just like having trouble foreseeing where we're headed, right? Like, I can hold on to, I want to live in a world where people are joyful, where we're all respected, where the earth is honored. Like, I can hold on to these bigger themes And I can do that on bigger themes within my own world of like, I would like to be abundant. I would like to be loved, right? Like I could hold on to those, but like the foresight of, and here is the way that we get there. This is the plan. I don't have that understanding. And I think that's what makes it feels even, for me, it makes it feel even more dense that I'm really longing for. How do we get there? What are the details? I like the details so I can do the action plan. And I don't have those right now.
So are we thirsty for control? Like we have no fucking control over what's happening. What the fuck?
Of course we're thirsty for
control. Yeah.
I mean, that's the space of comfort, right? Of like when we're in control, then we have a knowing and we can predict of like, this is how it's going to go, or this is what I want to have happen. Right? It's being in like no man's land and being like, I really don't know. It's not that like, I don't know what I want to do for a career, or I don't know if I want to choose this person for my partner, or I don't know if I want to live in the city. It's like, it's so much bigger than that because it's, I don't know how my ancestry led me to this place. I don't know why my karmic patterns have been replaying with these people in these ways over and over and over again. I don't know why I've been housing this for lifetimes. Like it's bigger than that. I don't know of what I'm going to eat for breakfast tomorrow morning. Or at least to me, it feels that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's hoping some answers come with Gemini. Gemini energy is very curious about, they want to know all the things. They want to figure it out. That's what Gemini falls into. Gemini sun, rising, Mercury, Mars. You want to figure it out. And so, first of all, you're not going to be able to figure it all out. That's one of the things that whenever you're reading for a Gemini sun or rising, you have to break the news to them that they're not going to be able to figure it all out. And they're very disappointed about that. but we're all going to be in that energy of you're not going to be able to figure it all out. Just remain curious. Remain nimble in your curiosity going, haven't seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know anything about that. I'm going to go get a book and remain curious about wanting to take in as much information as you can. Without going into a tailspin of you've got to figure it all out or something bad is going to happen. That's what I do. But it's because I have Mercury retrograde in the first house in my chart. Whenever I get into having to figure it out, I don't err on the side of it's probably going to work out. I err on the side of something terrible is going to happen if I don't figure it out. Not, I don't need to figure it out. It's probably going to work out fine. I don't lean that way. I lean into what could go wrong.
Right.
And we might need to concentrate on that during Gemini season of erring on the side of curiosity, not dread.
Yeah. Well, because when you're in the state of curiosity, then there's a playfulness there. There's a willingness to interact with life and let it unfold. And it's also relinquishing that perception of control, right? Like it's moving into the state of allowance of how does life unfold in front of me? And I'm going to let it unfold in front of me because, oh, look, there goes a butterfly. Oh, well, that's interesting. There's a red car next to me. Oh, that's interesting. That person was just talking about my home state, right? Like there's a level of like playfulness there that I think is an easy access point for us to tap into like the laughter, the joyfulness. Right?
Yeah. And try not to worry. I mean, it's easy to say when we're coming out of the full moon in Scorpio. I mean, I think that there's some fear in the air right now. But worry doesn't get us to where we want to be. It doesn't come up with new ideas. It doesn't come up with an excellent plan. It doesn't learn more. It just keeps you where you are. It sinks you.
Mm-hmm.
So resisting the pull towards worry in favor of curiosity, I think is going to be really important.
That takes serious effort there to resist the state of worry. And I mean, I think that's also just like, it's a choice, right? Like it's a continual choice of, And I hear you worry, and thank you for your concern. I know that you're coming from a place of trying to protect me, and I'm going to choose to just be curious and see how it unfolds, because that's a new tactic for me to take. That's a new muscle for me to flex, right? But again, it comes from choice, because like my natural state is worry more than it is curiosity. And it's, you know, being that present within yourself to listen to the programming, to listen to what records are playing on repeat. Like when you watch the news, when you look at your bank account, when you wake up in an argument with your partner, is it easier to go to the state of, I'm going to worry about how this all works out? Or is it easier to pull on this, the cord of curiosity, and what does it take to pull on that cord?
I've learned to treat my worry, if I try real hard, I have to concentrate to do it. Uh-huh. But I try to talk to it like it's adorable. I'm like, have you noticed that when you worry, you don't move as fast? And if you don't worry, then you figure things out. Have you noticed that? I'd say that to myself. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did notice that. and then like, I'll talk to it like, have you noticed that eventually things work out? Have you noticed that? I'm like, yeah, they do. And it stops me from going into a tailspin. Like talking to myself like I'm a kid.
Yeah. And you said it too, is like you have to really concentrate. And those are the energies we're up against that are make it difficult, is that concentrating when it's so heavy, right? Of like the true concerted effort of, and now I choose curiosity. Because I do the same thing, but most of the time it's after I've gone into 5 minutes of a tailspin and started to feel like my heart panic in like my breathing getting shallow. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I don't have to choose worry. That's right. I have another choice here. But I've done it on autopilot, right?
I wonder if we can retrain ourselves.
We definitely
can. I don't think that we were born with worry.
No. We definitely can retrain ourselves. I mean, I'll like neurochemistry geek out. We can definitely retrain our brain on that.
We know this for a fact.
I don't want to say for a fact. I don't, because you know, I like my research. I want my research to say I'm not standing on research, so I'm going to say, like, I very strongly believe that we can retrain our brains. I've seen evidence of our brains being retrained.
And quantum physics has proven that what you pay attention to is what's going to materialize.
Right.
Like, I'm probably going down. Well, then you might go down.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're like, I'm going to figure this shit out. Yep. Okay, good.
Yes.
What do you want to see happen? And hold the note of life meeting you there.
Yeah, with the curiosity of like, my son today was throwing pennies in the in a pond. And I was like, what'd you wish for? And he was like, I don't know, $1 million? I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah, and I also wished for 1 million Nerf guns too. What would it take? And I was like, yeah, okay. I mean, like to stand at the edge and be like, I don't know. I'm hoping for there to be no more climate change. What would that take? Like I'm hoping for everybody to have clean water and feel supported and I don't know, safe in the world like that. What would that take? And really leading into that curiosity of, well, wouldn't it be magical when it gets delivered?
Yeah, it's that thing about worrying, like, what if it doesn't work out? And stopping and going, but what if it does?
Mm-hmm.
What if it does? Don't you want to see if it does? We've talked about this before, about like, you know, reading a book and not being willing to turn the page because you don't know what the next page is going to say. Right. Well, just turn the damn page and see, okay?
Yeah, leaning into that curiosity. That's the request of the moment.